You are listening to WXRW River West Radio, 104.1 FM, riverwestradio.com, creamcitymedia.com/anti. So, I have mentioned a few times over the course of this series a book that was written by, it was co-authored by Noam Chomsky and Edward S. Herman, called Manufacturing Consent, The Political Economy of the Mass Media. And that book was the first of its kind to really pinpoint just how much a tool of propaganda the mass media is. And that's, today it would be qualified as every single form of media. So every social media site from Facebook to Twitter, up to obviously the giant, news media corporations, your Foxes, your CBSs, your NBCs, every single one of them is designed very purposefully to maintain the status quo and to limit the amount of critical discussion that can take place about the current economic system, the global economic system of hegemonic power that is killing all life on Earth. So the reason I bring up manufacturing consent today is because one of the ways that the news media controls the story in favor of the wealthy elite is just by not telling you certain things, by not covering certain things. Obviously, misinformation is a big part of what's going on in this climate of quote-unquote journalism. But beyond that, just censorship of the kind that ignores entirely certain movements that have been going on around the world. For example, the march in Calcutta. A million people gathered together, specifically led by the Communist Party of India. You did not see that covered, certainly not as much as you should have. You know, if there was a march of a million people in a city in America, you would see it tweeted about heavily. But obviously, there was no coverage of any real depth because the reason that that march took place was very much in rebellion against the neoliberal principles and the policies that have been taking place in India, that have been obviously having very negative externalities on the population of India. So that's just one example of recent, civil unrest that should very much be capturing the attention of the entire world. Well, today's episode is going to focus very specifically on a second example of civil unrest that taking place in France. And it's been getting a little bit more coverage, but still not nearly as much as it ought to for the sheer scale, for the sheer scope, and also for the extremely democratic practices that are finally coming out a little bit online. France is undergoing potentially a revolution of sorts that could finally change the discussion about capitalism as a global system, the inherent structural violence thereof. It's got real potential, I feel, to light a match and to spark flames in movements across the world. I don't know what it would take to actually reach America. There's still so much anti-labor, just kind of individualistic, I should say, tendencies, born of all of the neoliberal policies that took root in the 70s and the 80s, in particular under Reagan. But today we're going to focus on France. We're going to read a very poor translation of what's being called the Appeal of Saint-Nazaire. And first, before we get to that, we're going to talk a little bit about the history of the Yellow Vest movement, what's been going on around those actions, where it stems from, why the Yellow Vests, what they did, and what they plan to do in early May of 2019. Okay, so where does this whole thing start? I find the history to be really fascinating because when you hear a lot of people talk about, social justice movements today, they kind of misrepresent them. They miscategorize them as movements of, disenfranchised millennials who just don't want to work hard, or they don't want to take responsibility, they're not saving, blah, blah, blah. The blame all gets put on the younger people whose generation has just been screwed terribly. They've inherited a world that is so unjust, so ridiculously unequal, and burning all around them that their tendency towards, unrest is completely justified and understandable. So the beginning of the Yellow Vests movement, Les Gilets Jaunes, as it would be in French, I took 5 years of French, it all began not as a movement of what could be understood as, disenfranchised or disillusioned, millennials. It began as a political movement of generally folks who would be understood to be kind of neoliberal, middle-aged folks, older folks, folks who voted for current president of France, Macron. So let's go back. Okay. I might get some of these dates wrong. I told you last week that I was going to do more research, and I'm sorry. I've been so busy. I haven't had time to really. So this is mostly just going to be from memory, but thankfully I've read a lot about this lately in the bathroom. So let's go back to the end of 2018 when this whole thing began. Under the auspices of, pretending at least to recognize that climate change is a real danger and an actual threat. The president of France, Emmanuel Macron, said that there were going to be changes put in place and that he was going to make an attempt to move France forwards against climate change. Okay, except instead of actually levying the burden of that change towards a more green France on the actual corporations that are the primary issue. Instead, Macron levied a tax. It's specifically a gas tax, right, on gasoline. And it's really funny that was the thing that ignited this whole mess. In America, if there was a gas tax, we'd just shrug and go, "Oh, I don't like, immigrants." Like, that's for some reason they would manage to spin it so that everyone just hated immigrants more and it would just be ridiculous. But the French were not having it. The whole thing began, as I recall, as just a petition, an online petition. It got like a million signatures. People just saying that, no, we're absolutely not going to pay this, punitive gas tax. The whole thing is going to add to our cost of living, which is already super high. And why in the world should we bear the brunt of, you know, the responsibility for climate change when it's not us. It's not the stuff that we've been doing. We're just trying to survive like everybody else. There's 100 companies that are responsible for climate change, you know? It's not us. So it started with the petition, but then people started gathering in mass demonstrations, which began in the end of 2018. And obviously those continued into early 2019. Boy, I guess early and mid 2019. Oh, time is just going by so quickly, everybody. So the protests were kind of an anomaly. Most of the protesting as we understand it here in America is a bunch of people get together on a single day and they march and then they disperse. You know, they disperse and they go back to their lives and there's not so much as a blip. The Occupy Wall Street movement was different and really caught the attention of the government because it was a sustained action. Well, Les Gilets Jaunes has been a sustained action. They managed to organize in cities all across France. I think the last estimate I saw was 10,000 people spread across the country, which is only about the size of Wisconsin, by the way. So, you know, that's the population of a small town in Wisconsin, 10,000 people of medium-sized town. Anyway, all gathered together every single Saturday for 22 weeks straight in vast numbers to specifically protest not only that gas hike, but all sorts of other stuff that people were quite understandably angry about, you know. And they all started to kind of figure out, hey, we outnumber all of these jerks that are, you know, supposedly controlling our lives. And as we all know, France has kind of a history, a storied history of glorious revolution. Not really too bad that the French Revolution, the original French Revolution, didn't really stick. It didn't hold. And we can talk more about that later. But there have been delicious visual echoes of the original French Revolution in the form of literal guillotines that some of these yellow vest movements across the country actually erected and kind of, you know, put in place in front of government buildings and seats of power as if to visually say, hey, do you remember your history lessons? Well, this is what can happen when a bunch of people get really, really angry. That was really a fun thing to see. Let's talk very briefly about why they wear yellow vests. I had no idea why until I looked into it a little bit. So apparently, if you are a motorist in France, you have to have a yellow vest in your car in case your car breaks down or if you get into an accident or something like that. It's considered a safety measure. You must have a yellow vest somewhere in your vehicle that you can wear for safety. And because the original protests began around that fuel tax, it made perfect sense that, you know, motorists who have a lot of these rural inhabitants have to drive long distances to get to their jobs because, you know, the job situation in France is just as bad as it is everywhere else. Capitalism is failing majestically just across the entire globe. Wages are low. Employment levels are, you know, tanking. So as these protests continued week after week after week. And let's just take a second to recognize how incredibly difficult it is to organize a single protest, let alone 22 Saturdays in a row. That is organization on a monumental scale. And thank goodness for technology, because I'm pretty sure that a lot of the, you know, technological infrastructure that's been created to support capitalism hilariously aided the organizing efforts of these yellow vest protesters. The French government eventually started to take notice, obviously. And once it was realized that this was not going to be an isolated event, that they were just going to keep doing this, they were going to keep protesting in vast droves, The government attempted a few different ways to try and stop it, and they tried everything. At first, they began by literally just mocking them. They were like, oh, you are wearing your French. You are wearing. Oh, this is really bad and terrible. I'm so sorry. I'm going to stop. They'd be like, oh, look at you wearing your vests. How cute. You know, you think you have any control. So first, they just tried making fun of them and, you know, shaming them instead of, you know, actually addressing the issue. Because governments maintain their power through a monopoly on violence, as we've talked about all the time, it did not take too long until they began resorting to that violence. 10 people have died. 10 civilians have died at the hands of police over the various demonstrations. And actually, here, hang on a second. Okay, so we've looked it up, and the figure that I have is only actually up until December of 2018. So there could have been more since then, but I do know for a fact that there have also been definitely like people have been injured to such a degree that they've been permanently maimed. So the leader, one of the original people that got the whole thing going, Jerome Rodriguez, lost an eye after police were just violently trying to break up the protests. People have had jaws broken. Various other kind, you know, people have obviously been injured in all sorts of ways. Some, you know, were put in comas, etc. The French police have a history of being especially brutal. Although, you know what? I guess all police have a history of being especially brutal. To try and narrow it down to the French is really kind of silly. The police are the worst. And they're obviously class traitors that are only ever going to fight in defense of the status quo and the power structures that be. So the government tried to stop them, and it absolutely failed in every possible way. The protests continued up until, I believe, March of this year, when, and now we're getting to the part that really, really excites me, they said, all right, as a group, we're going to stop doing these smaller protests, and we are going to have a, what they called the Assembly of Assemblies. So every single group of yellow vests was considered an assembly. So whatever city you were protesting in, that was the place that you represented. And so right around March, they said, all right, we're going to give the government a break, but we're going to get together and figure out what the heck we're really about. We're going to come up with a manifesto. And this is the part that is most exciting to me. Here, let me, it was hard to find. That's another thing. I heard about the manifesto through LeftTube, you know, a collaboration of anarchists and communists on YouTube. Somebody alluded to it. They said, hey, there's been a manifesto released by Les Gilets Jaunes, and it's specifically anti-capitalist. And I was like, oh man, I gotta find this. Finding the actual manifesto was extremely difficult. If you look up Yellow Vests, if you look up Gilets Jaunes, if you look up the manifesto, you will find, more often than not, a very limited list of demands, which hasn't actually, even as far as I know, been officially pointed back to the Yellow Vests as its source. And it's got demands, but it's not the actual manifesto, which was released at the Assembly of Assemblies in Saint-Nazaire. Okay, so what is Saint-Nazaire? Let's figure this out. This is why having multiple tabs open is so crucial, everybody. Okay, so this is from stalkerzone.org. Which talks a little, that's a weird name, I know, talks a little bit about the appeal of Saint-Nazaire. Okay, held, yes. The Assembly of Assemblies of Yellow Vests was held in Saint-Nazaire on April 5th, 6th, and 7th. And the really cool thing about this is 200 delegations of nearly 700 people representing 10,000 yellow vests throughout the country laid down the groundwork for the structuration of the bottom-up movement. The really fascinating thing is every one of those assemblies sent two people, one man and one woman, and the whole assembly took place completely as a democratic, as a directly democratic bottom-up organization. And it was really, really fascinating. Let's see what we got here. Without wasting time in the early hours, delegates began their discussions first in several thematic workshops and then in a plenary session where a summary of the discussions in the working groups was presented and appeals amended and voted on. One person, one vote. Just that simple. Obviously, all of this is sometimes in the midst of stormy discussions and misunderstandings related to a kind of learning of self-organization. However, the appeals that emerged at the meeting are very progressive in relation to the political and social situation in the country and beyond. I want to take a quick second here to talk about that learning of self-organization. So, as listeners of the show will know, I recently joined the Industrial Workers of the World, the Milwaukee branch. And I've been attending every meeting that I can. And there's a particular and peculiar thing that I've been noticing about myself. And I'm sure it doesn't just it doesn't, you know, I'm not the only person that qualifies for being like this. In our modern day, you know, ridiculously false equivalent to what a democracy is supposed to be, we are not trained. We have no practice in actual democracy. So I'll go to these meetings, and I finally kind of started to come out of myself a little bit and snap out of this weird training that I've been indoctrinated with. And that training that we've all been indoctrinated with is simply your voice doesn't matter, your opinion doesn't matter, nothing that you say or do will change anything, right? It happens at our workplace all the time. At our workplace, your opinion doesn't matter. What you would like to be doing is irrelevant in all regards. And especially so in government. You've got your vote, but your vote has no direct impact. Your vote is set aside by one degree. It's abstracted. You vote for another person to hopefully vote in your favor. It's ridiculous. To be in a situation that is truly democratic and directly so is a completely new experience to me, to such a degree that I brought my very first proposal. I felt so cute. My very first proposal, handed it out to all the members in attendance at the last meeting. And to introduce something that I could work with other people on, in a free and democratic capacity, to vote on everything, to vote on literally everything, to have an open discussion about everything that was potentially going to be implemented, and to have my voice mean exactly as much as everybody else's voice and no more and no less, to have my vote matter directly as much as everybody else's, is something I'm completely unaccustomed to. It's alien to me. Because we are indoctrinated in this kind of religion of powerlessness. So anyway, the Gilets Jaunes had to kind of figure out how to self-organize. This is the manifesto that they eventually came up with. This is a very poor translation of it. I didn't attempt to translate it at all with, you know, the few years of French that I have under my belt. So this is just a Google Translate translation. Here we go. This call will be put to the vote by the local assemblies. We, yellow vests, formed in assemblies of our local assemblies, gathered at Saint-Nazaire on April 5th, 6th, 7th of 2019, address ourselves to the people as a whole. Following the first assembly of Commercy, about 200 delegations present continue their fight against liberal extremism policies for freedom, equality, and fraternity. Despite the repressive escalation of the government, the accumulation of laws that aggravate for all living conditions, which destroy rights and freedoms, the mobilization is rooted to change the system embodied by Macron. And the only answer to the converging aspirations of yellow vests and other struggles, the government panics and opposes an authoritarian drift. For 5 months, everywhere in France, on the roundabouts, car parks, squares, tolls, in the demonstrations and our assemblies, we continue to debate, to fight against all the forms of inequality, injustice, discrimination, and for solidarity and dignity. We claim the general increase in wages, pensions, and social minima, public services for all. Our solidarity and our struggles are especially for the 9 million people living below the poverty line. Aware of the environmental emergency, we say end of the world, end of the month, same logic, same fight. In the face of the charade of the great debate, in the face of an unrepresentative government and the service of a privileged minority, we are setting up new forms of direct democracy. In concrete terms, we recognize that the Assembly of Assemblies can receive proposals from local assemblies and issue guidelines, such as the call of the First Assembly of Assemblies of Commercy. These guidelines are then systematically submitted to local groups. The Assembly of Assemblies reaffirms its independence from political parties and trade unions and does not recognize any self-proclaimed leader. During 3 days in plenary assembly and by thematic groups, we all debated and elaborated proposals on our demands, actions, means of communication, and coordination. We are in the long term and decide to organize the next assembly meeting in June. In order to strengthen the balance of power, to put all citizens in order of battle against this system, the Assembly of Assemblies calls for actions. Schedule will be released soon via a digital platform dedicated and secure. The Assembly of Assemblies calls for expanding and strengthening sovereign local assemblies and creating new ones. We call on all yellow vests to spread this call and the conclusions of our assembly. The results of the plenary work are made available to local assemblies to feed the actions and reflections of the assemblies. We make several calls on the Europeans, the citizens, and the local popular assemblies against the repression and for the cancellation of the sentences of prisoners and the condemned of the movement. It seems necessary to take a time of 3 weeks to mobilize all the yellow vests and convince those who are not yet. We are calling for a yellow action week starting on May 1st. We invite all those who want to end the grabbing of the living to assume a conflictuality with the current system, to create together by all means necessary a new social movement, popular and ecological. The multiplication of current struggles calls us to seek unity of action. We call on all levels of the territory to fight collectively to achieve the satisfaction of our social, fiscal, ecological, and democratic demands. Aware that we have to fight against a global system, we consider that it will be necessary to leave capitalism. Thus, we will collectively build this famous all and all together that we are chanting and that makes everything possible. We build all and all together and at all levels of the territory. The power of the people, by the people, for the people. Do not look at us, join us. The Assembly of Assemblies of Yellow Vests. We're running out of time on this week's show, so I want to explain just how exciting that is. The fact that they specifically mentioned that not only are they building new forms of direct democracy, but they consider it necessary to leave capitalism. That is huge. The Communist Party marching in India, the Yellow Vests in France. I think it's time for Americans to step up and join these revolutionary movements to finally show the world, those in power, that they are not actually in power. We outnumber them. We are driven. We are being driven to the brink of survival by their policies and by their greed. And it is absolutely time that we stood up and showed them. Thank you so much for listening into The Anti. I have been your host, NTSC, and I will be back again next week to discuss further topics as they relate to our awesome shared potential. Past episodes can be found at creamcitymedia.com/anti. And to learn more about the show, go to riverwestradio.com. See you next week.